1 Kings 12, verses 21 to 24. The parallel passage is 2 Chronicles 11, 1 to 4. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered the whole house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 fighting men, to make war against the house of Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam, son of Solomon. But this word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to the whole house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says, do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing." So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again, as the Lord had ordered. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 21 to 24. The split has occurred at Shechem. The kingdom under Rehoboam is now divided into two, Israel in the north and Judah with Benjamin in the south. Rehoboam returns to Jerusalem, and quite naturally, it's quite understandable, his natural reaction is to muster his army. And he musters the whole house of Judah and the whole tribe of Benjamin. And he has a huge army, 180,000 fighting men. And he is determined to restore the kingdom, the throne, his reign, and to do it by force. And now is the time to strike. Jehoshaphat is not yet installed. Things are in disarray in the north. Now is the time to go to war and bring these northerners back into the fold of the one Israel. But God spoke through the man Shemaiah. The courage of this prophet to speak against this popular rising. And he did speak. And God blessed his word. And the word was, no, do not fight. This split, this division, this break in the kingdom is my doing. And we read that Rehoboam and Judah obeyed the word of the Lord. And in that sense, it's a very good start to this reign. Obedience to the revelation of God. Well, that's a real change, because it's the disobedience to the word of God. It's the breaking of the covenant. It's the transgression of the covenant. It's the breaking of the laws of God under Solomon that has brought this all to pass. And at least Rehoboam is making a good start here by obeying the word of the Lord. Now let us look at this. Rehoboam is reaping the sowing, not only of his own life and his own folly and his own misjudgment, but his crass behavior in replying to Jeroboam, but he's also reaping the years of the Solomon sowing. We do reap what we sow. But as we have seen before in these discourses and in these passages, God is sovereign, and his purpose is being worked out, and it comes to the surface here. This is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, for this is my doing. This is my will and purpose. God is going to judge Israel. And he's divided the kingdom into two. And both halves are going to go into captivity eventually. And so, the two things meet together here. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. Although it was the right time from Rehoboam's point of view, God's purpose must stand. How can we apply these things? Well, you can see in the days of the Old Covenant that nations advanced their power, kings advanced their reign and rule and realm by war. This is Rehoboam's natural reaction. And as we go on, page after page is taken up with these battles and wars. The grievous thing is, as we know, that the fathers in the second, third, and so on centuries, went back to the old covenant and brought the old covenant into the new covenant for the church and formed Christendom. And one of the features of that was the bringing back of war and fighting and sword and torture to advance the gospel. Think of the history of Christendom. It's littered, well, that's not the right word, it's bloodstained with the use of old covenant sword and torture and war to try and advance the gospel. We are told very plainly by the apostle, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly. They are mighty through God by the Spirit, preaching prayer. These bring down strongholds. We take captivity every thought to Christ. You see, war, sword, like Islam. Islam advanced by the sword. Well, you can make men's bodies conform to something by the sword. But it's men's hearts and minds and wills and souls we want. We don't want conformity. We want conversion. Now, today, in the West anyway, we've largely given up the sword. But we've taken other carnal weapons, worldly weapons, flattery, appeasing the world, appealing to the world, setting up programs and schemes to make the gospel acceptable, inverted commas, to the natural man. These are just the same as Rehoboam. He used sword. We can use these flattery methods, these carnal methods, these entertainment methods, these bodily methods to try and win men's hearts and minds and wills and souls. It won't be done. It's the demonstration of the Spirit and the power by the Spirit that counts. It's the preaching of the cross. It's prayer. It's the advance of the gospel by spiritual means. There's an old Latin hymn, conquering kings their titles take by the victims that they make. Jesus by a nobler deed. Ah, that's the truth of it. He takes captives not by sword and fighting and wars and torture and programs and schemes and pleasing men, but by the Spirit convicting and converting. And we need to get back to that. Let us learn from Rehoboam. Carnal methods, old covenant. We're living in the days of the new. Let us also learn from Rehoboam. When the word of God comes to us, let us obey it. Now, on this question of fighting for Christ, let me quote the hymn by Joseph Hart. Paul certainly uses military illustrations to drive home the gospel practice, but of course it's all to be interpreted spiritually. And this is how Hart set his hymn on the subject. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder. War in weakness, dare in doubt. It's all spiritual, of course. Buckle on thy heavenly armor. Patch up no inglorious peace. Let thy courage wax the warmer as thy foes and fears increase. Shod with gospel preparation, in the paths of promise tread. Let the hope of free salvation as a helmet guard thy head. When beset with various evils, wield the Spirit's two-edged sword. Cut thy way through hosts of devils while they fall before the word. Though to speak thou be not able, always pray and never rest. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst conditions known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. So let us learn the positive from Rehoboam. Obey God's word. Whatever he says to us, like Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. Blessed are you if you know these things, if you do them. May we learn from Rehoboam too. In the days of the new covenant, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, let us lead captive every thought to King Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.